The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Where the dawn of the east meets the twilight of the west, and the cool of the north touches the calm of the south, and the transcendent power of God touches earth in the humility of Christ. Here and now, where the head of the Charles reaches out to the heart of the country, we gather for ordered worship. We do so in the spirit and in the words of the poet, O Sabbath rest in Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity, interpreted by love. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we are able. Please stand in the praise of God. pray together. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, it is our custom, habit, rhythm, and tradition to begin each service upon the Lord's Day with a moment of prayer in confession, a time of contrition, confession, lament, seeking and relying on God's pardon and peace. In the words and spirit of the poet, drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. As the choir guides, may we pause for silent prayer. Good news, if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, beginning at verse 34. And some context for today's reading. We encounter Abraham's servant as he has returned to Abraham's homeland in search of a wife for Isaac, where he now speaks to the family of Rebekah. And so he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughter of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son.' I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink, and I will draw from your camel, I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will also water your camels." So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so they may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servants took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
lesson from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading, please join me in reading responsively Psalm 45, verse 10 through 17, in addition to singing the antiphon. Daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the riches of the people of all kinds of wealth. The princess is decked in her chamber with gold-woven robes. In many colored robes she is led to the king. Behind her the virgins, her companions follow. With joy and gladness, they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In the place of ancestors, you, O king, shall have sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore, the people will praise you forever and ever. Please stand as you are able for the Gloria Patri and the Gospel lesson.
Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 to 19, 25 to 30. Glory to you, O Lord. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Breathe through the pulses of desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind, and fire, thou still, small voice of calm. Amen. Upon this summer Sunday, let us meditate on discipleship and its gifts and its expenses, its costs. Our gospel begins with the playful imagination of children in the marketplace. St. Paul wrote in a similar way to his Corinthian congregation, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Discipleship costs more than wisdom alone. The walk of faith evokes and involves a rest for the soul, embracing imagination, the free play of insight, the province of children and saints. What a gift are the parables of Jesus. He taught them in parables, says the scripture, and without a parable, he taught them not one thing. Jesus stands in the marketplace. He sees two warring groups of children. All community is endless contention and intractable difference. One group wants to play a game called weddings. We have our pipes, we are ready to dance, come and join us and let us play the game of weddings. Another group wants to play a game called funerals. We have our tears, our wailing, our gathered mourning cloths and forms. Come and join us and let us play the game of funerals. One game for the enjoyment of life preferred by Jesus himself. One game for the doer self-discipline for life preferred by John the Baptist. Come and join. Come and join. Yet neither group will give way. Groups, as Reinhold Niebuhr taught us in Moral Man and Immoral Society, have a hard time changing direction or giving way, or forgiving, or summoning an imagination ready for discipleship. That and all that requires a childlike heart. It requires an imagination soaked in discipleship. It requires the person whom you are meant to become. And it costs. Did you ever know and love somebody who was always a bit on edge? I mean, a beautiful person with a heart of gold who was run raw by the gone wronginess of life? This can be a rough world for a sensitive soul, someone who has an unquenchable passion for getting things right and for knowing when things are wrong. A little of that can go a long way. If your very hunger is for what establishes, rests the soul, you can sometimes go hungry. Imagine with her eyes. Every child in the community was attending a safe, well-lit, quiet school where virtually all could read at the sixth grade level by the time they finished the sixth grade level. Every sick person in the community had ample medical care, most of it preventive, and all of it shot through with a heavenly infusion of time, talent, and money. Every person of color in the community felt confident entering the public spaces, theaters, churches, stadiums, stores, and every corner of the community. Every person is seen and heard as a real human being. That is her, perhaps that is your vision. But around us, other. Around us, a frightfully warming planet. Around us, the generation's deep effects of poverty. Around us, horrific hourly slaughter in Ukraine without even a single honest report of total deaths 500 days later. Around us, the senseless, needless shootings, gun deaths to which we become inured. Around us, yes, and within us, the anxieties and distrusts of our time. Imagine with her eyes and feel with her soul. Today, the gospel offers her and you a word of promise with a note of challenge. A word of challenge with a note of promise. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, that's challenge, and I will give you rest, that's promise. Here at the university, at the Fountain of Youth, we are blessed with intelligence, vigor, freedom, and reason. We want to be careful and caring, though, so we pause here. We educators sometimes tend to leave civil society to the rest of society. We have much freedom, but how we choose to use it in relation to the rest of community and society is another matter. We have, after all, that next paper to write, 50 pages of small print, not including footnotes, titled with some version of the title, Obscurity Squared. To do that, one needs a capacity to spend hours a day alone in a library or in front of a computer screen. To do that, to write that series of scholarly papers, become books, become resumes, become tenure, become professor, can risk leaving aside, if we are not careful, or leaving to others if we are not careful, the imaginative stewardship of civil society. Girl Scout cookies, umpire work for the Little League, Pinewood Derby leadership, a seat on the PTA, Sunday worship, neighborhood watch, refugee resettlement work. These we sometimes think we have to leave in the hands of others, or at least we think we do. These basic cultural building blocks that rest on a willingness to sit quietly in dull meetings, hoping against hope for the blessed refrain, "I guess we're done for tonight." In civil society, we have the chance to influence others, to be influencers, and to be influenced among others in lasting personal ways. So, you want to speak to others, to convince others, to educate. Good. But you cannot speak to others until or unless you speak for others. To speak to requires first to speak for. Others will not hear or heed you, and should not, in your speech to them, if they do not, with utter confidence, feel that you speak for them as well. To speak for, you have to be with. At breakfast, playing golf, in the book club, in church, at the YMCA. Then, only then, will you have enough funds in the relational bank when you need to withdraw some to say something that may then be audible. If you want people to hear you, preacher, you have to go and be with people, preacher, in visitation, on their turf, in community. If you want to speak to others, educators, you will have to find a way to speak for others, not just to others. This is the whole genius of American civil society from the time of de Tocqueville. Whether we will find in the humiliations of an era whose leadership is shredding inherited forms of civil society on an hourly basis, the humility to go out and suffer with and for others over the better part of the next decade in order to speak is still very much an open question, an unanswered question. To get to an answer, we may just need some costly imagination in our discipleship and some rest along the way. Finding it, it will find us in receipt of a glorious rest for the soul, one of the real gifts of summer, maybe in fact the point of summer. For wisdom is vindicated by her deeds, saith the Lord, in challenging promise and in promissory challenge. Our gospel lures us and lures our imaginations forward for discipleship. Have we yet learned the lesson that what one meant by an act, a word, a statement, a vote, say, is not all that such an act means? We have experienced this lesson, this tough truth, in the last several years. The lesson that is that what you in your heart meant by an act, a word, a statement, a vote, is not, in fact, the limit of what that act, word, statement, or vote means. In fact, it is a small part. The greater part of the meaning being found in the effect, the impact, the historical influence of the deed. Wisdom is vindicated, known by her deeds. Said our one-time Boston University Dean Ray Hart, the meaning of a text is found in the future it opens, the future it imagines, the future it creates. So too, the meaning of an act, a word, a statement, a vote, say, is found in the future, bright or dark, which it creates. What you meant is not what it means. For that, we have to listen to those harmed or helped by it. Meaning is social, not merely individual. Hence our use of words, our developed language, our investment in culture, our life and community. You may have meant it one way, but its meaning is found along another. Such hard, tragic lessons to have to learn and relearn in our time, and relearn again in 2023 and 2024. Here, Jesus is our beacon, not our boundary. Here, Jesus is rest for the soul. Imagination is a costly dimension of discipleship, but one that is waxing, not waning, needed, not superfluous, crucial, not peripheral. Our lessons today, Genesis, Psalms, and Romans, presage the gospel and draw our imaginations to forms of authority and our engagement with them. In Genesis, the authority and ancestry. In the Psalms, the authority in government. In Romans, the authority in conscience. In all these, the writers struggle to imagine a way forward, following the promising light of the beacon across the challenge of the boundary. Our parable brings us an invocation, a summer call to rest, rest for the soul. Pause and meditate a little this morning on your own enjoyment of play. Our esteemed Boston University colleague and beloved mentor, now of blessed memory, Peter Berger, did so in rumination about discipleship years ago in his little book, A Rumor of Angels. He noticed moments of rest for the soul. I see some too. You do as well. I see grown men enthralled on a green field following a wee little white ball which seems to have a mind of its own for 3 or 4 hours in the hot sun. I see grown women shopping together without any particular need but immersed, self-forgetful in the process of purchasing God knows what. I see emerging adults fixed and fixated day on end in a large puzzle on a long table. Can you remember playing bridge in college all night long to the detriment of your zoology grade? Peter Berger taught us, saying, in playing, one steps out of one time into another. When adults play with genuine joy, they momentarily regain the deathlessness of childhood. The experience of joyful play is not something that must be sought on some mystical margin of existence. It can readily be found in the reality of ordinary life. The religious justification of the experience can be achieved only in an act. It's kind of an act of faith. This faith is inductive. It doesn't rest on a mysterious revelation, but rather on what we experience in our common, ordinary life. Religion, he concludes, is the final vindication of childhood and of joy and of all gestures that replicate these. Last winter, one sophomore breaking from study said, I played basketball today with an intramural team. It was awesome. Rest too for the soul. A wisdom vindicated, justified by her deeds, is one of the costs of discipleship. St. Luke, in his version of this passage, has changed the ending to justified by all her children, maybe an even closer memory to the marrow of the true history of the parable. There is always, dear friends, every day, a possibility of and for good. In every day, there is a possibility of and for good. Here again, the imaginative wisdom of Boston University's own one-time personalist philosopher, Erazim Kohak, in The Embers and the Stars, with whose epigram we conclude this summer morning, to kindle and draw on a rest for your soul. Humans are not only humans, moral subjects and vital organisms. They are also persons capable of fusing eternity and time in the precious, anguished reality of a love that would be eternal amid the concreteness of time. A person is a being through whom eternity enters time. Sursum corda, hear the good news, receive the divine gift of rest for the soul, a challenging promise and a promissory challenge. Amen.
may be seated. We now enter the time of our service where we join together as one body of Christ in a time of prayer. You are invited to enter into a posture of prayer, whether standing, sitting, or kneeling at the railing, as we prepare our hearts, minds, and bodies for prayer. God of strength and peace, God of power and of grace, we come before you this day with hearts full and hearts heavy, uplifted by dreams and weighed down by nightmares. Meet us in this space and hear us as we bring before you these circumstances, people, and possibilities that rest heavily on our hearts. For those who struggle with illness of mind, heart, and body, we ask for help, healing, and compassion. For those communities seeking resources, reconciliation, and restoration, we ask for justice, equity, and abundance. We pray for all of those affected by the recent heat wave, both in Boston and across this country and world. May we all find relief from the swelter and find solutions that are equitable for all. We pray for those affected by violence, whether abroad or here in our own communities. Guide our hands and feet as we seek and build new systems of peace and righteousness. And we pray for the worries that lay heavy on our hearts. Would you help us as we learn to hold these burdens lightly and remind us that we do not walk alone. God of the enough, help us to be people who walk not only with confidence, but also with commitment to your vision of wholeness of life for all. Help us to take action for the sake of this vision of one another and of the whole creation you have entrusted to our care. Lord, we bring all these prayers up to you, knowing that you hear every word, whether said aloud or whispered quietly in our hearts. We lift these prayers up in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. we enter into the time of our service for our offering, remember that God is with us. God keeps us wherever we go. God does not leave us with unfulfilled promises. Let these gifts be our pillars of stone, our oil poured out in gratitude for all God does for us. Come, let us present to God our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we present now all that we brought to you, things that are both visible and invisible, those that we carry throughout the day with our bodies and in our hearts. We bring to you the paper that represents our work, along with our voices that express our love and thanks. But we also bring as an offering the dreams and hopes that we have and continue to hold. Receive all that we have brought in love, O God. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, the mercy and humility of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and forever. Amen.